Brothers and sisters, as we find in 3 John chapter 1 verse 2, Beloved, I pray that in all respects you may prosper and be in good health, just as your soul prospers. The secret to all kinds of blessing is the prosperity of the soul. As much as your soul prospers, namely, as much as you've cast off all evil and untruth and filled your heart with goodness and truth, you can have good health, financial blessings, and spiritual strength. The book of Job presents the ways to making your soul prosper. Once you realize why God had to refine Job and how Job received double the blessings through trials, you can obtain solutions to all your problems in life. Today as well, we will look at Job's confessions one by one, discern man's righteousness from that of God, and discuss how man's thoughts differ from those of God. I hope that through this message, you discover your fleshly thoughts and self-righteousness, completely shatter them, and achieve God-desired righteousness, thereby enjoying a life where you overflow with answers and blessings. In the passage, Job depicted God as such a bad one. He said in chapter 30, verse 21, You have become cruel to me. With the might of your hand, you persecute me. Due to severe boils, Job suffered from unbearable mental agony as well as physical pain. His body was messed up from head to toe, and as he had no one to trust in or rely on, he couldn't find words to describe how miserable he felt. As Job felt that God was to blame for all these things, he developed a lot of ill feelings against God and continually complained. God persecuting Job with the might of his hand means that God forcibly pressured him with his power. As Job was bitterly upset, no wonder he didn't use good expressions towards God. For this reason, Job didn't hesitate to say, You have become cruel to me. With the might of your hand, you persecute me. Namely, he said, God, you are being so cruel to me and oppressing me with your great power. Brothers and sisters, our God is love. How could God, who had His only begotten Son die on the cross to save sinners, persecute His children cruelly? Among unbelievers are those who read the Bible and assert God is authoritarian and selfish. He tells us to serve Him only. He will strike us right away once we go against His will. But as we find in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13, which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. We have to read the Bible amidst the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to figure out the spiritual meaning of the word. If we take a literal approach and involve man's knowledge and thoughts in reading the Bible, we can misunderstand the truth and perceive God as a bad one. Isaiah chapter 55 verses 8 and 9 tell us, For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. If we lack spiritual awakening in our Christian life, we quite often find our will different from God's, blinded by his fleshly thoughts. Job also couldn't figure out God's heart. As Job found God's plans not in line with his own thoughts, he naturally felt frustrated. Just as the truth and untruth don't agree with each other, it's no wonder that God's thoughts are not in agreement with those men of flesh. That's why God said to obey is better than sacrifice and emphasized that we shouldn't adjust things to men's thoughts, but obey the word of God. The Bible has a great number of instances where a person who unconditionally obeyed God rather than adjusting things to his own thoughts received God's great answer and glorified Him. Let me introduce one typical example from each the Old and the New Testament. To start with the one from the Old Testament, Naaman, the general of Aram, went to Israel to visit Prophet Elisha to be healed of leprosy. Yet, the prophet didn't even offer to meet him. He only sent a messenger to tell him that if he washed himself in the Jordan River 7 times, he'd be healed. Naaman couldn't believe the prophet. As his pride was hurt, he wanted to go back to his country. But as his servants suggested, "My father, had the prophet told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more then when he says to you, 'Wash and be clean'?" He immediately changed his mind, obeyed the man of God, and got complete healing. Was upset, but he listened to his servants, his assistants. He accepted the advice of his servant. They were hierarchy among them, but as the servant gave his master advice, the fact that the servants could give him advice means that they had a good relationship. And he was upset, but as he listened to the advice from his servant, he considered it right and agreed, which means he was very humble. There are people who doesn't even accept the advice of his boss or people in a higher position. Even when they say something right, they don't want to listen. But General Naaman had a good heart by which he accepted even the advice of his servant if it was right. That's how General Naaman was able to obey. As we can see, when we obey, even if the Word of God doesn't agree with our thoughts, we can see a miracle take place. Obedience is not about doing things we can do. Obedience is about doing things that we cannot do. That's when Father God says to us, "Well done." As our faith grows bigger and bigger, there's nothing we cannot obey. We know that God's word is right, and we just follow the word, and we shouldn't consider His command or word difficult or tough to obey. But as our faith grows, we just submit ourselves to His word. Next, it was before Peter was called to be Jesus' disciple. As a fisherman, Peter went out to the sea and worked all night, but couldn't catch a single fish. Then Jesus commanded him, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." At this point, Peter replied, "Master, we worked hard all night and caught nothing, but I will do as you say and let down the nets." As he obeyed accordingly, he caught so many fish that his nets began to break. Let's say Peter insists on his own thoughts and disobeyed, saying, "Master, I know fishing better than you do. I'm exhausted from working all night and I'm now finishing on my work. It's impossible to put out into the deep water and cast my nets again." Then Peter would have never seen God's work. Like in these cases, once God spoke, our fathers of faith obeyed with only yes and amen, without adjusting things to their own thoughts. As a result, signs and wonders were manifested, and they could glorify God and accomplish His works. If you follow your benefits, only looking to the reality unfolding before your eyes, you may feel frustrated as you are guided by God. But you are to know that God does everything for a reason. For example, as God led the Israelites to the land of Canaan, why did He bring them to the shore of the Red Sea? Of all the places, the Israelites were in a predicament, blocked by huge sea waves in the front and chased by the Egyptian army in the back. They must have been frustrated if they involved man's thoughts. If God had guided them through a different route, rather than through the sea, they could have run away, not confronting the Egyptian army. But this is merely men's thoughts. We find in Exodus chapter 14, verse 31, when Israel saw the great power which the Lord had used against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord and they believed in the Lord. God had them walk through the Red Sea on dry land, and the Egyptian army who were following them, and the Egyptian army followed them, and then God, as soon as the Israelites finished crossing the sea, God had the separated waters come back together, and so, as a result, the Egyptian army was buried alive in the sea. This great work, the Israelites saw such a great work, and the people feared the Lord, and they believed in the Lord and His servant Moses. As the Israelites witnessed the marvelous work of the splitting the Red Sea as well as the 10 plagues in Egypt, they could confirm that God was indeed with Israel and guaranteed His servant Moses. The Israelites who were, so they didn't make a suffering loss. They could have said, God could have guided us through a different route, but why did He put us in trouble? They couldn't say that. God was glorified greatly. They should have only given thanks for what God had done. The next thing they had to do was, even though things didn't agree with His thoughts, even though they couldn't understand the situation, even though they couldn't understand the situation with the man's thoughts, they should have believed that nothing is impossible with God, and they should have waited for God's will. But how did they do? After God split the Red Sea, did they obey? Did they look to God's will? Did they trust and believe God always? If they did so, all of them could have entered Canaan land, but they actually didn't do that. That's why God had to let them live in the wilderness for 40 years. And manna and quails coming down from heaven, as I told you, when they were before the Red Sea, by man's thoughts, they could have complained. They did that. They were protected from the 10 plagues, and they safely escaped Egypt. But when they were before the Red Sea, they began to complain against God and Moses. And then they, because of Moses' faith and his deeds, God had them walk through the Red Sea on dry land, and the Egyptian army was buried alive in the sea. And the Israelites were overjoyed, danced with tambourine, and glorified God. As I told you earlier, they should have get it together, and they should have resolved not to. They should have believed in God being able to do amazing things. They should have resolved not to complain. If they had done so, they had been able to enter Canaan. But actually, Israelites didn't do that. Even after experiencing such great things, they began to complain because of the shortages of water, and they complained for this and that. And every time they complained and lamented, that's what they did. What about us? Man's thoughts are different from God's thoughts. We know that, right? When in the face of such things, when we have seen numerous cases where things turn into God's blessings, but in the face of a trouble, we forget about God's work we saw and we begin to complain. This is what human beings are like. That's why so the Israelites had to spend 40 days in Israel, in the wilderness, and they were not able to enter Canaan. The Israelites were like us. We have to realize that, and we have to change ourselves from now on. And just as the Israelites were, even after experiencing such works numerous times, their hearts were not changed. They rejoiced and praised God as they saw God's glory. Yet in the face of a trouble, they soon poured out complaints and lamentations and repeatedly disobeyed. They even created a golden calf and made it an idol, thereby causing God's wrath. Even so, God didn't forsake them, but wanted to save them, change them, and plant faith in them anyhow. God knew that otherwise they would soon abandon Him and serve idols even after they entered a land flowing with milk and honey. We may think, because God promised, God could have just brought them, put them out of Egypt and brought them into Canaan. And I mean, that's why God had to guide them, not through a shortcut, but through that way. This was an opportunity for them through the 40 years in the wilderness. They were given a chance to change themselves. So that's why Father God didn't lead them straight into Canaan, but God gave them a chance to change themselves through the trials. But they didn't change themselves to the end. Ultimately, among the first generation, only Joshua and Caleb were able to enter the Canaan. Brothers and sisters, what about as we hear the story about the wilderness and the entry into Canaan? We should not forget that and apply the message into our life and compare them to our Christian life. And in the journey towards New Jerusalem, we have to examine ourselves with that. We have to ask ourselves whether we remember the word of God, whether we always rejoice and stay thankful, whether we show complaints or lamentation, whether we thought about the past. Right now, you have to check yourselves. Some people say, God, if only you answered this prayer, I will faithfully work for you, live by the word, and love you first. In saying so, they pray and fast hard. But if God answers them, would they do according to their confessions? At first, they would give thanks and rejoice. But how long would they keep their joy and gratitude? God is well aware that men have craftiness by which they change their heart, betray Him, and go back and forth once their problems are resolved. For this reason, we sometimes see cases where God doesn't answer a person immediately, but first waits for them. God's thoughts are different from man's thoughts. As we look back on the process, you may have a question, why God say this, but the situation is different from. You shouldn't complain, but you have to examine how much you change yourself, what God wants from me, what God said to me. God emphasized sanctification, God emphasized love, but I didn't achieve them. But why did I expect any blessings? Let's delve into the case of David. David knocked down the Philistine general Goliath at once by using a sling and a stone. Even though he was a mere shepherd boy, since he had faith of relying on the name of the Lord God, he could boldly confront the enemy general and prevail. Since David had such good faith, God sent prophet Samuel to anoint him to make him a king. Samuel finally anointed David. After he was anointed as a king, yet until David ascended to the throne, he had to be chased by King Saul amidst threats of life for over 10 years. He had to suffer from hunger, enduring a wretched life in the wilderness, fled to all over Israel, and even pretended to be insane once. According to man's thoughts, it would have been better if God had put him on the throne right after anointing him. But God had him suffer for many days. So how inconvenient, inefficient this process seems. But from God's perspective, people who have such fleshy thoughts are frustrating. The reason is, his lengthy trials turned out to be a blessing. David didn't consider these times distressful, but only relied on, thanked, and praised God. He learned to forgive and love others without resenting them. To David, the hardships was the foundation of blessings on which he could turn into a greater vessel, become whole, and equip himself with the qualities to become a great king. As we can see, man's ways of thinking differ from those of God. As we view things from man's perspective, we may find God's ways inconvenient and think, if I were God, I would have done it this way. But once we realize the truth, we never find His ways inefficient. We never misconceive God as the one who persecutes us with the might of His hand like Job did, but perceive Him as the God of love, the God of justice, and the one who wants to bless and answer us. Therefore, we ought to realize that only the truth is will, strive to figure out God's will and realize His truth, and trust and obey Him. Also, whatever trouble faces us, we are not to create a wall of sins before God by complaining and involving fleshly thoughts. In humbly reflecting on ourselves, we have to discover ourselves only in light of goodness and truth. Only then can we figure out God's plan. Everyone, during the trials, situation may seem bleak and you are hopeless, you may seem hopeless, but you have to keep going, even amidst that hopeless situation. But if you lack faith, you don't know where to go, so you just lament and complain. But man of faith, even though when they just have the word of truth as the lamp of light, the word of truth always stays the same. They are not confused. They always choose the truth. This is the way of they take. Then God, they find themselves God. So when the, after a while, they know, they understand the, as for me, when I was in trouble, I found the answer from the Word and tried to choose the truth from the Word. And even though when I was in trouble, I had peace in my heart. And after a while, that distress actually helped me grow and achieve more goodness and love through that time. As I explained now, even though we may not know what is happening, but after a while, we understand. We don't have to say, Father God, what is happening? Even though we know what is happening, we just keep going. We have to keep going. We always have a map, which is the Bible. The Bible shows us the way. It tells us what to do. We don't have to say, we don't know where to go. I hope that you apply this in your life as well. The same goes for the way we deal with others. From man's perspective, some people who don't live in the Word may seem frustrating and they are slow to change. But God pours out His grace to the end so they can also change. Thus, we should not judge, condemn, or disregard anyone. Father God's thoughts are different from ours about another person. You may not think, Father God must have abandoned him. This is fleshly thoughts. Father God is loving him and refining him. But if you condemn or judge him like that, we are committing a sin. That's why we are just doing things according to the truth. In the following verse, Job went on to explain with the figures of speech how mercilessly God had treated him. Chapter 30, verse 22 reads, "You lift me up to the wind and cause me to ride, and you dissolve me in a storm." A wind can sweep away light objects, whereas a storm may pull out a big tree and topple a big structure. Figuratively speaking of such natural phenomena, Job claimed that God had blown him away by the wind and made him swept away and dissolved by the storm. The reason was, Job had his wealth, Job had his health, possessions, fame, family, and friends destroyed all at once like a sandcastle on the seashore collapsed by a wind. Since Job didn't have spiritual faith, he naturally lamented over his circumstances and uttered words of despair. But we are to trust in the power of God who can do all things. If we have the eyes of faith, we'd find the process of undergoing trials before God beautiful. No matter how tough and hopeless the reality seems from man's perspective, God can fix what has been broken, heal what has been torn apart, and rebuild what has been destroyed. Moreover, if God allows you trials under His providence, how greatly He would comfort and bless you after all the trials are over. Because the Bible assures us in Isaiah chapter 30, verse 26, the light of the moon will be as the light of the sun, and the light of the sun will be seven times brighter, like the light of the 7 days, on the day the Lord brings up the fracture of His people and heals the bruise He has inflicted. We ought to keep our perfect faith in God's power and love and overcome any trials with joy and thanksgiving. In the following verses, Job said, "For I know that you will bring me to death and to the house of meeting for all living." What did Job mean by saying, "For I know"? Before Job faced trials and tribulations, he considered his life worthwhile and rewarding. But here, he expected that he would face a meaningless death like other living things. Just as all living things head towards death, not seeing God's mercy, Job remarked that his life was headed for death meaninglessly and regrettably. Brothers and sisters, we have to be aware that all living things are bound to follow the order according to the God-established laws of nature. Some people say, because he's led a righteous life, he'd be blessed and enjoy a long life. But rather, he may end up dying young. They also say, because she's done evil, she would become a failure. But she may not. For all things happen according to God's laws of justice and love, we shouldn't recklessly judge. But Job spoke as if he was well aware of his ways. But this was merely his thought. In fact, he didn't know them at all. Through the Bible, we know very well what kind of blessings God would give Job in the end. But while not knowing this outcome, Job concluded that God would lead him to a meaningless death. In their daily lives, people pass judgment regarding others or themselves based on their own thoughts and draw a conclusion. We have to know how foolish that is. When you lower yourself, when you're in trouble, when you're in distress, people just hate you, you become a failure, and it feels like you cannot, never come back up, and you feel like your life is over. You may give up, you want to give up, but there is a point where you can recover. Yeah, I think you have that experience, but people have ups and downs in life. When they go down, people with positive thinking say, yes, when I was in distress, I could get back up, and I will get back up again. It would be good to have such a positive thoughts, but some people, I have no chances remaining. It's all over. They distress themselves with such negative thinking, and they go deeper into a pit. I hope you don't do that. Of course, moreover, we know the word of truth. Even though we are in a repent. If we thoroughly repent and turn from our ways and ask for God's mercy, nothing is impossible. Even King Ahab, who was so evil, when he repented, God gave him another chance. This is God of love we know about. We cannot say, I have no other chance remaining for me. Also, about other people, when we see other people, we shouldn't also not... Job said in chapter 30, verse 24, yet does not one in a heap of ruins stretch out his hand, or in his disaster, therefore cry out for help. It's only natural that when people fall down, they stretch out their hands for help or cry out for salvation in a crisis. Likewise, Job argued that because he was such in a trouble, it was only natural and just that he cry out, defend himself, and dispute. But this is a fleshly person's way of thinking. Since men of flesh have no truth in their hearts, they cannot bear their pride being hurt and don't give up on their opinions. When they get hit once, they have to hit back twice to feel satisfied. But God tells us not to fight and dispute, to humble ourselves and serve others, to turn our left cheek to a person who slaps our right cheek, give our coats to a brother who asks for our shirts, pray for and bless those who persecute us, and love even our enemies. If you have made bread of such words of truth in your heart, even though you are in a situation like Job's, you wouldn't think of it as unfair or try to dispute. You would rather guard yourselves with the truth and overcome evil with good. This is how men of flesh differ from men of spirit in terms of ways of life. But men of flesh, what about them? When a man of spirit stays silent, a man of flesh think of it as frustrating. Does this mean we have to fight? Does this mean we have to show our evil? Fleshly people and men of flesh, men of spirit have a different ways of living. Men of flesh are frustrated and they express their ill feelings and they voice their, but men of spirit stay silent, trying to figure out God's will and humbly repent and just pray. They say things when they pray. God's help comes from God, and we can stretch our hands towards God. This is how men of flesh differ from men of spirit. As we can see, man's righteousness is different from God's. John went on to say in chapter 30, verse 25, have I not wept for the one whose life is hard? Was not my son grieved for the needy? Job used to shed tears and grieve for the needy, people who were suffering, and those who had fallen down and met with a disaster. Out of his love, he practiced charity for those who asked for help. But now, as he himself became needy amidst disasters, he insists that he had a right to cry out like that, and it wasn't wrong to scream in pain and ask for help. In saying so, Job meant to say that the complaints, lamentations, and disputing words he'd poured out were righteous. But as I told you earlier, this wasn't God's righteousness, but the righteousness of his own, Job's own righteousness. We should be able to discern with the truth always and keep in mind that under any circumstances, the untruth cannot be justified. In the following verse, chapter 30, verse 26, Job said, when I expected good, then evil came. When I waited for the light, then darkness came. In the past, Job diligently gave God burnt offerings, praying for blessings and waiting for light. But Job complained that what came as a result was evil instead of good and darkness instead of light. In other words, Job mentioned that because he feared God and led a righteous life,
God
He suffered the disasters. Is this true? He was completely denying the word of God. God said in Psalm chapter 145, verse 19, He will fulfill the desire of those who fear Him. He will also hear their cry and will save them. God also told us in Psalm chapter 37, verse 4, Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. The Bible assures us that God answers the desires of those who fear and please Him. None of you, brothers and sisters, should say, With love for God, I diligently attended services, prayed, and longed for blessings, yet trials and tribulations came as a result. I also heard some person saying that after he shared a testimony, I faced a trial. Because I glorify God with my testimony, trials came. It's not true. You are not facing a trial because you shared the testimony. It's not true. Once you are healed, it's a good thing that you gave glory to God with your testimony. But even after you shared a testimony, if you didn't walk in the light, you may face a trial or a test. But he said that because I shared the testimony, God was testing me by giving me this trial. It's not true. You shouldn't distort the truth in a strange way to justify yourself. The reason is, there is no way for those who indeed love God and live out a word to face tribulations. God may allow them trials according to His providence, but the result is the blessings for sure. Since Job hadn't understood God's providence and His will, he couldn't realize that he deviated from the truth. Not knowing that God allowed him trials to help him realize the truth, Job uttered such a remark that expressed his despair. How heartbroken God must have felt watching this. He must have looked absurd from God's perspective. He must have looked absurd from God's perspective. If we consider the fact that Job later realized God's will and providence at the end of the trials and confessed, God, I figured out your will. Thank you for blessing me through the trials. Now, Job was struggling to meet God, and ultimately he met God and had all his problems resolved. We find in James chapter 5, verse 11, We count those blessed who endured. You have heard of the endurance of Job and have seen the outcome of the Lord's dealings, that the Lord is full of compassion and is merciful. Therefore, in the face of a trouble, I hope for you to remember the trials of Job and not complain under any circumstances. Hopefully, you will keep your trust in our merciful God, persevere to the end, and give thanks. Of course, I'm not telling you to stay quiet in impatience. It's important to discover and change yourselves. I urge you to reflect on your... Another thing we have to realize here is that we are not to seek blessings in man's righteousness. Because our God is the truth itself. Only as we act in the truth can we meet Him and receive His answers. And our God is the light itself. As we walk in the light, the enemy devil cannot interfere with us, so our trials come to an end and our tests and tribulations are driven away. Because Job gave God offerings in his own righteousness, the blessings he desired didn't come. Instead, he had evil and darkness come upon him. But we have to know for sure that if we wait for light in faith and truthfulness, light comes without fail. And if we long for happiness, we have happiness coming. If we dwell only in goodness and truth, we will have no room for Satan's work. As long as we have untruth and fleshly things remaining, Satan hinders good and light from coming. As Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 14, If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. We can receive whatever we ask for in the name of Jesus Christ. Because we are filming, we have to. So I hope you edit it out well. If we fail to receive an answer despite our prayer, it's because we don't obey the truth but walk in the darkness. Only when we blame ourselves instead of God for everything, we can have our problems resolved. Thus, before we insist that our thoughts, knowledge, and theories are right, we have to reflect on them in the light of the truth and achieve righteousness in God's sight. Let me conclude a message. Brothers and sisters, Job still insists on his own righteousness and blamed God for the disasters facing him. But those who are truly good-hearted blame and look back on themselves in times of trials or tribulations. As they do so, God offers them grace with which to discover themselves, causes things to work together for good, and keeps such things from happening again. Therefore, I ask you to acknowledge God in all your affairs and examine your lives in the Word of God. Also, as God said in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, we are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. I challenge you to shatter all your fleshly thoughts, only obey the Word of God, and practice righteousness in God's sight. In doing so, I pray in our Lord's name that what God said in 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 29, "For you are my lamp, O Lord, and the Lord illumines my darkness," will come upon your lives as brilliant light. Hallelujah, our Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all the members who are receiving this prayer now. May you work in ways that transcend space and time for your children all over the world. I ask you to give them faith by which they can believe from the heart, drive away their negative thoughts and doubts, and make all their tests and tribulations go away. Scorch them from head to toe, all of their organs, intestines, bones, nerves, tissues, and cells with the fire of the Holy Spirit, and work with the original light. I command in the name of Jesus Christ, the enemy devil, all diseases, germs, and weaknesses go away. May the light come upon them. Please cleanse them of all terminal and incurable diseases by scorching them with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Drive away all endemic diseases, including malaria, all contagious and infectious diseases and related symptoms such as cold, coughing, fever, and flu go away. May you protect them from all diseases, heal them of all kinds of cancers, including monastic cancers, AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high low blood pressures, heart disease, pulmonary or gastric disease, diabetes, women's disease, dermatitis, thyroid problems, and all kinds of inflammations. I ask you to perfectly heal them of polio, stroke, arthritis, and herniated discs. Make all kinds of pain go away, including backache, headache, and nausea. All mental diseases like epilepsy, autism depression, manic depression, panic disorder, neurosis, dementia, go away. All kinds of paralysis go away. May they stand up, walk, and leap. Please make them see better or hear better. May the blind begin to see, the deaf to hear, and the mute to speak. Father, perfectly heal them of the after effects of all kinds of accidents and make their broken bones knit back together. Make their skins fully recover from burns. All burning sensations and heat go away. Father, please keep them from having any scar. Cleanse them of addiction to all kinds of drugs and poisoning. Make their dead nerves and cells regenerate. Make the dead revive. Father, may you bless infertile couples with a child. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all evil spirits, the ruler of the kingdom of the air, and their servants, go away. All evil spirits, dirty spirits, deceitful and crafty spirits, and separating and deceiving spirits, all darkness, go away. Darkness be driven away, and all the bonds of wickedness be loosed. May the light come. Father God, please give us strength to cry out in prayer and empower us to cast off sins and become sanctified. Make everything go well with them as their soul prospers and help them evangelize their families as well. All through the week, may you protect us from all accidents and disasters and bless us to lead a prosperous life where nothing goes wrong. Please protect all your children, their families, workplaces, and businesses with the fiery walls of the Holy Spirit, heavenly hosts and angels, and your blazing eyes.
Give our students wisdom and understanding, and let them have more fervor and passion to study hard. Protect their hearts and minds from being taken away by the world. Bless our students to love you more fervently. Please bless your children to lead a life where they do everything to your glory, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Bless them to always confess with their lips, "I've met and experienced God, I've received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. May you be glorified alone. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.